Heavenly Father, we come before you this morning so thankful again, Lord, that we can just gather together to worship you, to praise you for the freedom that we have in this country, Lord, to glorify you openly, Lord, to be a testimony, a witness to others, and Lord, that we do not have to in any way hide for our freedom who you are and what you are doing. And I pray that we would proclaim your name and glorify you this morning, Lord, and that we would just honor you because you are worthy, truly, of all that we can give you, all the praise that we can give you, and the glory and the honor. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's all stand.
Christ in me.
Was any of that accomplished this week in your life? Sing the song, Jemiah, if you want to pull up the first song that we had missed originally.
Which one?
Your Name.
Your Name.
Or is that was the first one we didn't sing, right?
Touch your heart and glory.
on Friday night with the youth in the way that in Ephesians 6 it says, take up always, in every circumstance, is the shield of faith. And we were talking about how the shield of faith is not something that we just huddle behind, allowing the darts of the enemy to come. Sometimes, yes, it is there. It is there to protect us. But it is also an offensive weapon. We're, like you said, Jesus is up ahead waiting on us, looking back. We need to continue on towards him, even though we have that shield of faith there behind, in front of us, but we're that's protecting us, but we're always moving forward. It's an offensive, it's an offensive outlook in faith to be moving forward. Well, after all that, we should be able to sing this song at the top of our lungs.
When the trumpet of the Lord shall sound and time shall be no more, and the morning breaks eternal bright and clear, when the Savior of earth shall gather over on the other shore, and the roll is called up yonder, I'll be there. When the roll is called up yonder, 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 I'll be there. Oh, the bright and cloudless morning, when the dead in Christ shall rise, and the glory of his resurrection shed, when his chosen ones shall gather to their home. Could not climb in desperation.
one, because that was all the wrong keys, but thank you. God, you are our living hope, and thank you so much for that. And Lord, this morning we worship you because we have a joy in our hearts. We have a joy on this journey that is not because of our circumstance. It is not because of the trials and the things we may face. But Lord, we have a joy because you are with us.
Yes.
You are walking every step of the way right there with us. And in
Jesus.
That, we have joy because your presence is there. You are living and alive within us. And Lord, we rejoice in you this morning because that is what our journey is all about.
Yeah.
It is about you. It is not about us. It is not about the things that we are going through. It is only the results of what those things produce. It is you being shown and being glorified through our lives, being glorified as we are victorious because of what you have done.
Yes, thank you.
Lord, and we look to you again this morning, and we just thank you because you are there. And we enjoy your presence, Lord. And I just pray that you would be here with us again this morning. Your presence would be in this place. Your Holy Spirit would rest upon us.
Yes.
Every word that is spoken, every word that is said, Lord, it is just about you.
Mm-hmm.
And that we would return and give you that sacrifice of praise and glory for who you are. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Okay, the children, you can be seated. The children, come forward. Brandon, we're going to sing some kids' songs this morning. All right, where'd all Jemiah's kids go? There we go. One. Hey, how about you all come up on here? I'm sorry, it's not very visible, but then I don't have to try to move this. Why don't you come over here this way? Can you stand in here? If you look through the glass pulpit, they can all still see you.
Do you guys want to sing some songs? Why don't you all stand so they can see you, like come up front here.
Well, you organize them. Yeah, I told you you could see through that pulpit. Someday we might be trying to get you out of the pulpit. All right, how about God's Not Dead? Is that a good one to warm up with?
God's not dead, no.
I figured that one was coming. I think we have to vote for everyone that is under 18 to come up and help you.
Yes, that's a great idea.
Lukey, Michael, Brad, Blake. Pat, are you over 18? Oh, man. You're almost 20.
My goodness.
Should have went
Blakey,
21.
Come on, Bradley.
I should have said anybody that was at my house Wednesday night or
come on,
Friday
Abigail.
Night. Where's Michael? Oh, he's doing that in there. Okay. I guess he might be off the hook then. Nessa's like, don't even look at me. She's babysitting. All right. This looks like a much better crowd for this, right?
And if you don't know it, you'll learn it real fast. Do you guys know Wrapped Up, Tied Up? Have you ever heard it? Okay.
Wait, I'll somebody want to go through the motions real quick? Lexi, you want to show them the motions? Okay. And then what's the next verse?
Inside.
Okay. okay? And the last word is? Living right. All right. And we sing it real slow, so it should be really easy to get.
I'm wrapped up.
I'm wrapped up, tied up, tangled up in Jesus. I'm inside, outside, side to side in Jesus. I'm upright, downright, living right in Jesus. Wrapped up, tied up, tangled up, inside, outside, side to side, upright, downright, living right in God.
Woo!
Good job. Well, you're up here now. You may as well stay. So, so much more fun to have people up here with me. What's the... Okay, so you guys want to say where first, or you want to sing first? Where first? You sure? Because then you don't have a chance to know how loud you got to go to outdo them. Tell how often we do this now. Wow.
G. I've got the joy, 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 joy
down in my heart.
Where? Down in my heart. Where?
Down in
special. I haven't sang that one in a long time. This makes a lot of sense in no English sense. All right.
I don't know if I can play it, but we can do it. I can help with the...
It's D.
So you guys...
Test. Okay. Where were you, Lucas? That's cool. So you guys all were busy last week, and Benny was the only one here, and he got to play David, and he actually broke a slingshot. Okay. Have you ever heard of Abraham? Who's he? Who's Abraham? His wife was Sarah. Do you know how old she was when they had their first baby? Yeah, like almost 100 years old. Have you ever heard of a 100-year-old woman having a baby? That's crazy. So, and Abraham still trusted. So, we're going to talk about Abraham's faith and all that he trusted in God. It's kind of crazy what he trusted. So, the Lord came to Abram. Oh, yeah, his name was Abram before it came Abraham. So the Lord came to Abram and said, I will give this land to your children and to their children, and it will be their land forever. Abram built an altar, made an offering to the Lord, and worshipped him. Another time God told Abram, can you count the stars? Neither will you be able to count your descendants. Abraham believed God would give him many descendants even though he had no children yet. Have you ever tried counting the stars? Not even scientists can count the stars because there's so many. It's impossible to count. So, yeah, 1, 2, 3, 4, and then it'll go, and you can keep counting and counting. You'll be really old when you, and you'll still be counting. Later, God changed Abram's name to Abraham, which means father of a multitude, and he still had no children yet, and he was really old. He promised to give Abraham and his wife Sarah a son, a people, and a land. Abraham promised to serve God faithfully. One day, three strangers came to Abraham's tent door. By this time, Abraham was 100 years old and Sarah 90 years old. The strangers told Abraham that Sarah would have a son. Sarah overheard it and laughed at herself. How can I have a child when I'm so old? She literally laughed because she's like, I'm 90 years old. I can't have a son. But the men who were angels sent by God said, Is anything too hard for the Lord? Finally, the promised child indeed was born to Abraham and Sarah. They named him Isaac, as the Lord had told them to. They were very happy to have a little boy. Then one day God said to Abraham, take now your only son, whom you love, and go to a mountain which I will show you. Offer him there for a burnt offering. So pretty much after they waited about 100 years to have a son, finally Isaac was born. God's like, okay, now you have to go offer him up to the Lord and give him to the Lord. Then you can't have him no more. But Abraham had faith in God. So, where am I? Finally, then one day God said, no. Though the command filled Abraham's heart with pain, he began to obey at once. With two servants and a donkey, Abraham and Isaac started northward. On the third day, Abraham and young Isaac went up the mountain by themselves. There Abraham built an altar. He placed the wood in order, tied Isaac, and laid him on it. At last, he raised his knife to kill his son. So Isaac knew, by the time he was up to the top, he knew that he was being going to be offered up to the Lord. And he still, you think he could have outran a 100-year-old man? Are you faster than a 100-year-old guy? I don't think there's anyone 100 years old here. But I'm pretty sure you could outrun him. And Isaac was even older. He was probably about my age or something. He could probably outran him. So, but Isaac still had faith, and he trusted his father, just like we should trust our father in heaven, or even our father here. We should trust them. So he raised his knife to kill his son. Just then the angel of the Lord called, Abraham, do not hurt your son Isaac. Now I know you love God more than your son. What joy and relief those heavenly words brought to Abraham. Then Abraham turned and saw a ram caught by its thorns in the bushes. By its horns in the bushes. How thankful Abraham was to offer the ram instead of his son. So Abraham trusted God so much that he actually thought Isaac was going to raise Isaac from the dead. And yet, he didn't even have to kill his son in the first place. Instead, he used a ram. So I'm pretty sure all of you heard this. Ephesians 6, verse 1. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and mother, This is the first commandment with a promise. So Isaac obeyed his father, even though he knew he was going to get killed. He still honored him, and yet his father honored his father, who is God. Abraham honored his father, and by the end, Isaac, I mean, we're all from Father Abraham, right? That's why you sing Father Abraham, many sons, Steve's favorite song. And yeah, so there's more of us than there's stars in heaven, just like God promised. So, yeah, youth night, Dad was having devotions about Abraham and the shield of faith. Abraham had a big shield because he had a lot of faith. He trusted in God and all he did, and he trusted him with his own son, which when you're a dad, you'd understand. I don't even understand yet, but the love of dads to their children are like, there's not much love here on the earth like that. And to Abraham, to honor God, actually had to sacrifice Isaac in his heart even before he killed him. And yeah, that love is kind of amazing. That's the same love God has for us, because we could do anything, like we could fail him over and over, but still God will trust, he will still be faithful to us and love us, and he'll never forsake us. He will never leave us, no matter what we do. All right, you can go back to your seats.
Good morning to each of you. Good to see everyone's face this morning. Hearty welcome to our visitors this morning. Glad to have you here with us for sure. I was very blessed this morning already with the praise and worship service and the children's lesson and all. Many, many thanks again to the Hershey family for that time. Definitely sense the Lord's presence here this morning in our midst. If you need a word of encouragement, here you go. But you are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people for God's own possession, so that you may proclaim the excellencies of him who has called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. For you once were not a people, but now are the people of God. You had not received mercy, but now you have received mercy. Isn't it true? And are you thankful this morning for God's mercy and for his grace? One thing that has kind of, in the last week or so, is that a conference and kind of thinking about self-awareness. But along with that is the renewing of our mind, what that really means to you. I think so many times we, from our past experiences or whatever, we let those hinder from becoming a better of who we can be in Christ. And so many times I feel like we come to roadblockages, but we don't want to deal with it, so we jump on the other side. And so many times we take the other ditch. And so it's with God's grace and his mercy to help us what that renewing of that mind is and who we are in Christ. So thanks again for everyone for sharing this morning. For you too, Brandon. You're invited to stay for lunch. Then we got some Colorado barbecue today. Hallelujah. Got the Saturday morning prayer at the 7 a.m. Looks like this week we have a men's book study at John's house, July 24th, Wednesday night, 6:30. Also do have a youth retreat coming up. Looks like we still have some availability. So if you know someone, please feel to go online to register. Also, just a side note, the Bontrager family singers will be in alt this week at High Plains Church right there in Aldis, right there on Main Drag there. There's some detail. There's a bulletin in the back. So if you want more detail, but this is this coming Friday night at 7 o'clock at High Plains High Plains Church there. I'm sure they'd love to have us there. Continuing to pray for, I guess, Ali and Christy. There's a few that aren't here this morning. Ali and Christy and their family. Judd and Megan. I think the Peaches aren't here. Justice and Catherine. Sound like they had a little boo-boo this week. So, yeah, I continue to pray for them as well. Schroeder, is this your last Sundays here? Anyway, it's an honor to have you, privilege to have you here this morning for sure. Without any further announcement or anything, why don't you just bow our head for a word of prayer, and Phil brings us the word. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for your goodness again this morning. Lord, you made us new every day. Lord, I just thank you for your mercy and your love. And Lord, I just also pray for those who are traveling this morning. Just want to lift up Christy and Ali, their family, Judd, Meg, the Peaches, Justice and Catherine and all them. Lord, I just pray you be with them today. Keep your angels over them. Help them to feel your closeness and your arms around them as well. Lord, I just pray that you be with the Schroeder family, Lord, as they continue to move on in another area. Lord, I just pray that you'd go before them. Bless them, Lord, as they unfold a new chapter. Lord, I just thank you for the blessing that they have been to us here at Redeemed Community Church. Lord, I just also want to lift up our brother Phil to you. Lord, anoint him with your Holy Spirit. Help us all to have open hearts and minds to hear what you have for us, Father, that we can be that light and a beacon on a hill for you. Thank you for your love. In Jesus' name, amen.
Last Sunday was more of a preaching sermon. This Sunday, I'm going to do more of a teaching time together. And when I think of teaching, there are two different ways you can teach. One is what I call a lecturer, right, where I'm just up here lecturing. And the other one is interactive Bible study. That means you and I figure this out together. And we contribute together observing the Word of God. And to me, I like to look at it or think of it this way. And if you think of it this way, you can experience it this way. It's a journey through the truth. Now, there are a lot of people who will do the Bible through in a year, or they have all these. You can find a ton of programs of how you can journey through the Bible, different ways you can study the Bible. I'd like for us to take a step back, and this morning, as I shared with you last Sunday, we're going to look at the body of truth or the structure of it. So many times, as I've read the scriptures and grown up listening to the Word of God, it's the focus is on the application of the truth. Husbands, love your wives. How shall you do that, husband? And so we go through the details of what that love acts like, how you experience it. Children, obey your parents. All of this, what I call structural truth, we like application because it's something we can do. It's something I can walk out of this building and just begin to do it. But here's the problem with that. Many people in their Christian journey, I have found, who love application, and they stay just focused on the application of truth and are always looking for another application of truth they can apply to their life. It's like adding another color of paint to their house or another piece of, you know, fancy siding outside, or it's all outward. Something you can see me do. We do this in our home. You know, we have Bible devotions at 7 o'clock every morning. We go to bed at 8 o'clock every night, or 10 o'clock. You see, something we do, and if you come live with us, that's what we do. Or as you get to know us, if you come to church with us, this is how we do it. But if you only live on that surface, you'll miss understanding why you do it. And if you missed it, that understanding of truth, then what you'll do eventually, the inside, the reason for obeying Christ in that or for doing that application of truth will become hollow. It'll decay. Because we're not living in the understanding of the truth. And so today, I'm not going to give you a lecture, okay? I'm not going to give you the do's and don'ts, the points. I want us to take a look at the structure of truth, and here's how we're going to do it. We're going to begin doing it this way. We're just going to read through scriptures of the truth of God's created structure of authority, responsibility, and life in the world, in our home, in the church. And we're going to do it this way. Turn your Bibles with me to Ezekiel chapter 37. As I was praying and really just asking the Lord and taking this journey of truth, discovery, the Lord said, begin by just doing it this way. In my Christian life, I have found, Ezekiel 37, I have found that when I want to look at an illustration of truth, you can use, the world is full of illustrations, and many of them actually help us understand truth, but they can mislead us. The one sure way you can understand God's heart, what God is trying to communicate to us about his truth, is using his illustrations. And when we look at the word, and we see how God illustrates truth, then we begin to understand what God is meaning to say to us. And if you don't, you can pick out all kinds of other illustrations. They can be helpful, but they can also be dangerous. So beware, dear believer. And I encourage you, when you want to illustrate truth to your children, as a teacher, dad, mom, when you want to receive, if you're looking for, God, show me what this means, go into his word and find an illustration. He is faithful. He illustrates in his word how truth works. Take, for instance, Jesus gave a lot of illustrations of truth. In fact, almost every truth that Jesus wanted to really describe to people to help them understand what the kingdom of heaven is like, he always said it that way. The kingdom of heaven is like. And he told us what it was like. It's like a man who went and bought a vineyard. Right? Oh, the kingdom of heaven has something to do about a vine dresser? A man and a vineyard? Have you lived in that truth at all? In your understanding of God and His love in your life and His way in your life is like He is the man who purchases your life and He makes your life His vineyard. Isn't that what Jesus said in John 15? I am the vine, you're the branches. Unless you abide in me, you have no life in you. The vine, the vineyard, all of a sudden we get a picture of how God sees me and how He wants to relate to me. So this is one in Ezekiel 37. And I want to read this one to you to help you understand where we're going with this so that you can, together we can take this journey. The hand of the Lord, verse 1, was upon me, and He brought me out by the Spirit of the Lord and set me down in the middle of the valley, and it was full of bones. Are you there with Ezekiel? The Spirit of the Lord right now. If you haven't been there, you're there now. The Spirit of the Lord is saying, come with me, with Ezekiel. Now you're sitting in a valley, and it's full of bones all around you. Just bones. What kind of bones? And He caused me to pass among them round about. So, okay, now we're going to walk around this valley. You taking the journey with Ezekiel? And behold, there were very many on the surface of the valley. And lo, they were very dry. They'd been there for a long time. Very dry and a lot of bones. And He said to me, son of man, are you a son of man? Yes, we're all sons and daughters of man. Can these bones live? And I answered, O Lord God, Thou knowest. Safe answer, right? Have you ever answered God that when He's asked you a question? O Lord, You know. Good answer. Again He said to me, prophesy over these bones and say to them, O dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. Now what are you going to do? You're in a graveyard, except the bones aren't buried. And God just asked you, can these bones live? And you answered the safe answer, Lord, You know. Now the Lord is speaking directly to you and me, and He's saying, I want you to speak to these dry bones, and here's what I want you to say. All dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. Thus says the Lord God to these bones, behold, I will cause breath to enter you that you may come to life, and I will put sinews on you, make flesh grow back on you, cover you with skin, and put breath in you that you may come alive, and you will know that I am the Lord. Do you believe in the resurrection? But what does your resurrection look like? Have you seen the power of the resurrection? Not just of a dead body. These people were destroyed. They were hacked to pieces. Their bones were scattered. And they had been there for a long time. It wasn't just a dead body. It was hacked to pieces. The skin had deteriorated. Have you ever seen this kind of resurrection? Neither had Ezekiel. You can't read ever before that the Spirit of the Lord said this to Abraham, to Moses, to David, had ever done anything like this in Israel. But he said it to Ezekiel. He did it to Ezekiel. So I prophesied as I was commanded. Will you? Will you speak to dry bones? And I'm going to take this illustration and say, will you speak to truth that has been hacked to pieces in the world you live in your own life? It hasn't come together as a body in a living form. It's completely destroyed and has been for a long time. It's dry, dead. It's not even joined together. Doesn't look like a body at all. Will you speak and prophesy in that area in your life? The word of the Lord. That's what the Spirit of the Lord wants to do. How he brings resurrected life. How he brings truth that may have been destroyed for generations. And it's so abstract to us that when we look at it, we all we see is this, that, dead bone over here, dead truth over there, dead truth. It's not even joined together. It's not a life-giving truth to us, and it's most certainly not functional. Will you prophesy to that? Dear son of man, daughter of man. Will you have Ezekiel's faith? And I want to share something with you because this is really, really important. Paul said to the church at Corinth, and the church at Corinth, in many ways, spiritually, was exactly this. This church at this point was disjointed in so many ways. It wasn't functional as the body of Christ should be. And Paul, having written a letter to them, trying to set things in order. God's order. God's created order. Putting it back together. This is what he said in 2 Corinthians chapter 4. He says, verse 13, but having the same spirit of faith, according to what is written, I believed, therefore I spoke. I believed, therefore I spoke. We also believe, therefore also we speak. Now he's quoting David in the Psalms. I believed, therefore I spoke. And you can look that up if you want to go back to the reference of that in the Psalms. And you'll find it in Psalm 116 is where you're going to find those words. So he was quoting the prophet David. He says, we also believe, therefore also we speak. Knowing, we speak and we believe because we know this. Knowing that he who raised the Lord Jesus will raise us. That's why we speak. Because I know, my faith is in this knowledge that he who raised the Lord Jesus out of the grave will also raise us with Jesus and will present us with you. That is faith, a prophecy that Ezekiel experienced. And the result of that, let's finish reading the story, right? In Ezekiel 37. So, verse 7, so I prophesied as I was commanded. And as I prophesied, while he was speaking, there was a noise, and behold, a rattling. Now, are you there with Ezekiel? He's in this graveyard, And you have to understand, they didn't bury people in the Middle East. They still don't in Asia, in India. They don't put their people 6 feet under like we do. They bury them above ground. I remember when I was in India, we went to visit Brother Josh Chandra's father, where he was buried. And we pulled into this place, and there was this graveyard, and they put him in these concrete vaults, like, but they're like their caskets, what we would call a casket, but it's concrete, and they lay the body, and they're stacked above each other, but everything is above ground. And so as you walk through the graveyard, you're walking among the dead people. They're not buried with just a tombstone. The vaults are right there. But here, Ezekiel was walking among the dead bones laying on the surface of the ground. And he's prophesying. And there was a great rattling. Have you ever prophesied? As you were commanded and while you were speaking, there was a noise. Behold, a rattling, and the bones came together, bone to its bone. And I looked, and behold, sinews were on them, and flesh grew, and skin covered them, but there was no breath in them. All of a sudden, instead of bones, there were corpses, bodies laying all around. Then he said to me, prophesy to the breath. Prophesy, son of man, say to the breath, thus says the Lord God, come forth, come from the four winds, O breath, and breathe on these slain, that they come to life. So I prophesied as he commanded me, and the breath came into them, and they came to life and stood on their feet, an exceedingly great army. Now here's the vision explained. Then he said to me, son of man, these bones are the whole house of Israel. Behold, they say, our bones are dried up, and our hope has perished. We are completely cut off. You ever heard anyone say that? I've heard plenty of people say that about their marriages. In the years of ministering to people, I've heard a lot of people say, too late. My hope's cut off. There's no way ever happen again. I heard people say that about churches, about their relationship to churches, or about their relationship to Jesus. Christians say this. The house of God is still saying this in the world they live in. People say it about politics. People say it about the governments. This is a normal human assessment of life. Very normal. That's what was going on in Israel. Therefore, prophesy. Will you prophesy when that is the attitude? Or will you say, oh, I'm so sorry, sweet sister. You know, you have a right to feel that way. It's okay. Therefore, prophesy and say to them, thus says the Lord God, behold, I will open your graves and cause you to come up out of your graves, my people, and I will bring you into the land of Israel. Then you will know that I am the Lord when I have opened your graves and caused you to come up out of your graves, my people. And I will put my spirit within you, and you will come to life. And I will place you in your own land. Then you will know that I, the Lord, have spoken and done it, declares the Lord. The vision of the dry bones is for you and me. In this truth that I'm about to share with you, that we're about to look at together. So, for those of you who have not been in context with us, we're traveling through Colossians, And we were at verse 18 through verse 25. And then we were kind of focusing in on husband-wife relationships, Christ and his church. We went to Ephesians chapter 5, verse 22, because this letter was written at the same time to the same people, the same general area. And these letters were to be written equally among the churches. So here we find the heart of God through this dear Apostle Paul, who was in prison, and he was coming to the end of his ministry as he knew it. And he was sharing this truth with these dear people who had been born again from all over, all kinds of different backgrounds, but mostly from idolatry, converted from heathen idolatry and born again into the kingdom of Jesus Christ, the family of God. And so I'm just going to pick up on verse 22 to put us back in the context. But remember, we're in the context of Ezekiel. Okay? That's the illustration. Verse 22. Wives, be subject to your own husbands as to the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife, as Christ also is the head of the church, he himself being the Savior of the body. He, Christ himself, being the Savior, Christ, of the body. But as the church is subject to Christ, so also the wives ought to be to their husbands in everything. Husbands, love your wives just as Christ also loved the church and gave himself up for her, that he, Christ, might sanctify her, having cleansed her by the washing of water with the word, that he, Christ, may present to himself the church in all her glory, having no spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that she should be holy and blameless. Up to this point, in every verse, who is the preeminent character? Who are we talking about? Mervin? Christ! I've seen your lips go. That's why I picked on you. Every verse, we're talking about Jesus Christ. So, verse 28, husbands ought also to love their own wives as their own bodies. He who loves his own wife loves himself. For no one ever hated his own flesh, but nourishes and cherishes it, just as Christ also does the church. Because we are members of Christ, his body. Body. Did you get? The body, the bones came together. For this cause, a man shall leave his father and mother. Oh, now we're talking about a marriage. There's a marriage happening in the body of Christ. There's a marriage relationship of a man and a woman in Christ. Did you get that? For this cause a man shall leave his father and mother and shall cleave to his wife, and the two shall become one flesh. This mystery is great, but I'm speaking with reference to Christ and the church. Nevertheless, let each individual among you also love his own wife even as himself, and let the wife see to it that she respect her husband. So there are two, as I'm going to kind of describe it to you here this morning, there are two levels of truth, or two functions of truth, that I see the Holy Spirit is trying to communicate to us as his church. One is structural, foundational. And so here's how I'm going to illustrate it. And I want you to help me with this, okay? Because I haven't nearly perfected it. I feel like the Lord is letting me see 1 Corinthians 13 through a glass darkly. I'm peering through this glass, but it's dark out there. And I'm beginning to see some images of this. And this is the image I'm seeing. We're going to draw a line through here. This we're going to call structural or foundational. I'm just going to put foundation in. This, so there's some truth that's going to fit in this, okay? And we're going to say this is below ground. This is hidden for the most part. You can't see it. How many have seen the foundation of this building you're in? Do you know what it consists of? Concrete. How do you know? Dad knows because he's ripped open the carpet, right? And he's seen the architect's drawing of it. He's seen the plans, right? So, but it seems solid enough to me. But for the most part, it's hidden. Yet we're very comfortable here on this truth. But no one's talking about the foundation, are we? Have you ever thought about the foundation when you walked into this building? We've been here for 4 years, and many people have come in and out of these doors, and no one's ever said, "Boy, this building seems solid, man. Must have a good foundation. I can feel." You know what everybody says? Can you guess? What have you thought when you first walked in these doors? Where have your eyes went? Wow, the rock. People have talked about the beams. The windows. Nice light. Application. Right? Part of the structure, but no one's talked about foundation. Okay? So what we're going to do here is this is structural foundation. This is relational truth. That means some of it has everything to do with how we relate to one another or to God. It is a relationship. But I want to point something out to you. Follow me through this. I want you to do this exercise. This is not conclusive. This is not a lecture. I'm going to read through. I'm going to have some of you join me in reading verses. And they're not going to have any sequential order to it. All right? They're dry bones. There's the bone of truth here, a bone of truth over here, a bone of truth over here. And as we read these scriptures, you're probably going to be confused and saying, "What is the point?" That's exactly where I want you. Where the Holy Spirit wants you, because we're with Ezekiel. We're looking at truth that has been disjointed in my life. What I've found in my Christian journey is easy to do, and where many Christians do this same thing as I talk to other Christians, and this becomes our struggle, is to connect truth into a living body. That is a life-giving spirit. And so what we often do is we talk about this truth, or we take this verse, this scripture, and we make a whole body of truth out of this one scripture. But what happens so often is it's not joined with the whole counsel of God. It's just a part of the whole truth. And if you try to build your life, your home, your relationship with your wife, your husband, your relationship with Christ and His church on just one truth, one bone, you're going to be deformed. You're not going to have the beautiful image of Christ and His church, the bride. It's going to be incomplete. And you leave it that long enough, it becomes incorrect in your life. And essentially what happens spiritually to us, we become deformed in our body. Some truth becomes so big, half my body is the leg instead of just a quarter. And it becomes abusive truth. First here, in my own life, but what I believe to be true, I speak. So that truth becomes abusive speech, spiritually speaking, to my wife, to our children, to the church, my community. Dwayne finally spilled his coffee. Congratulations, Dwayne. I've been waiting for that for 4 years. All right. Are you ready now? Here goes. Here's the exercise. So we read Ephesians, Colossians, Ephesians. Now I'm going to do something. I'm going to go back to the creation. In Matthew chapter 19. Let's turn there. Matthew 19. Because that's where Jesus took us. In Matthew chapter 19. Beginning in verse 1. Henry. By the way, could I have a mic? Could we have a mic, Jemiah? Sorry, this just dawned on me now that we probably should have a mic so that those online can follow along with the one listening. And I'm going to pick on some of you guys just simply to read the scripture. That's it. And Matthew chapter 19, beginning in verse 1 through verse 12. And he's grabbing the mic, so just hold on. There you go, Henry.
Through verse what?
Through verse 12. 1 through 12.
And it came to pass, when Jesus had finished these words, he departed from Galilee and came into the borders of Judea beyond the Jordan, and great multitudes followed him, and he healed them there. And there came to him, hold on 1 second.
Phones and ads. Am I right?
It switched to King James on me, and I couldn't. I haven't read that in 20 years. All right, I'm going to just start over. Now when Jesus had finished these sayings, he went away from Galilee and entered into the region beyond the Jordan. And large crowds followed him, and he healed them there. And Pharisees came up to him and tested him by asking, "Is it lawful to divorce one's wife for any cause?" And he answered, "Have you not read that he who created them from the beginning made them male and female? And said, therefore, a man shall leave his father and mother and hold fast to his wife, and the two shall become one flesh. So they are no longer two, but one flesh. What therefore God has joined together, let not man separate." They said to him, "Why then did Moses command one to give a certificate of divorce and to send her away?" He said to them, "Because of your hardness of hearts, Moses allowed you to divorce your wives, but from the beginning it was not so. And I say to you, whoever divorces his wife except for sexual immorality and marries another commits adultery." Then the disciples said to him, "If such is the case of a man with his wife, is it better to not marry?" But he said to them, "Not everyone can receive this saying, but only those to whom it is given. For there are eunuchs who have been so from birth, and there are eunuchs who have been made eunuchs by men. And there are eunuchs who have made themselves eunuchs for the sake of the kingdom of heaven. Let the one who is able to receive this receive it.
What part of this truth that we just read would you put under structural foundational, and which part would you put under relational truth?
From the beginning.
From the beginning. Okay, very good. From the beginning, God did what?
Made them male and female.
Male and female. Structural. Male and female. Is there any part of this truth that would be under over here where you see it? Relational. And what part would that be? What were they asking Jesus? What started Jesus with this conversation?
Divorce.
Divorce is relational, right? It is. Okay, let's go to Genesis chapter 2, because that's where Jesus took them. Back to the creation. You see how we're just beginning to establish a journey of truth. This is a walk. And you're going to see how if you follow where the Spirit leads, where Jesus led you, you'll begin to see and observe structure, bones of truth. So let's go. Genesis chapter 2. Verse 20, and I'm going to give the mic here to Hank. Hank, would you read beginning in verse 20 to the end of the chapter? Is that mic on? Yep, he says it's on. Just eat it.
And Adam gave names to all cattle and to the fowl of the air and to every beast of the field. But for Adam, there was not found an helpmeet for him. And the Lord God caused a deep sleep to fall upon Adam, and he slept. And he took one of his ribs and closed up the flesh instead thereof. And the rib which the Lord God had taken from man made he a woman, and brought her unto the man. And Adam said, "This is now bone of my bones and flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman, because she was taken out of man. Therefore shall a man leave his father and his mother, and shall cleave unto his wife, and they shall be one flesh. And they were both naked, the man and his wife, and were not ashamed."
Structural or relational?
Relational.
Relational. Which part? I'm glad you observed that. Did any of you guys get that when you read that? How is a man relating to his wife? What is the word? He's hanging on for dear life. He's cleaving. Do you get the picture of marriage, the way God created it? For this reason, a man shall relate to his wife cleaving. We can talk about that whole word right there, build a life on it, right? But let's not do that. This point is just a bone. Why is he cleaving? What's foundational about it? Very good. All right. So we're going to say creation is a reason. Why else? Why did God create the woman in the first place? Have you found that reason? Women, have you found the reason you're created?
Yeah,
a help meet? Yep. Suitable help meet. My translation says, help meet suitable Very good. Is that relational or structural? What do you think? Relational. How so? How is it relational? Why? What makes it relational? Yeah. She is helping. That's the relational part. She is helping. Is there any foundational truth in that one? Any structural that's below the surface that you're not seeing? She was created to be a helpmeet. What kind of a help? Is there something structural there? Marriage, yeah. What kind of a help? Okay, I'll give you a clue of where I'm going. Where did she come out of man from? His foot? Are you sure he didn't come from his brain? Where did? Right here, the rib. That's structural. Her very creation comes out of structure. Right? Her very existence is structural. Did you get that, guys? She's part of your structure, not just there for a relationship. She's not just there to help. She is part of your foundation of your life. She's structural. Rib. Okay, 1 Corinthians 11, and then we'll stop there. I'm sorry. Sorry, yes. See, we're doing this together. The rib is structural. I'm going to put it under creation. She comes from his rib cage. She is his rib cage. And I love it. You will too. If you understand this truth, you'll begin to love it. You'll begin to prophesy into it. And this truth will become as it was what God wanted to do in Israel through the prophecy of Ezekiel. 1 Corinthians 11. Let's begin in verse 1. Let's grab the mic here, Hank. Don't mind. I'm going to give this to you, brother Christopher. 1 Corinthians 11, and you can read through verse 9.
1 through 9?
1 through 9.
Be followers of me, even as I also am of Christ. Now I praise you, brethren, that you remember me in all things, and keep the ordinances as I delivered them to you. But I would have you know that the head of every man is Christ, and the head of the woman is the man, and the head of Christ is God. Every man praying or prophesying, having his head covered, dishonors his head. But every woman that prays or prophesies with her head uncovered, dishonors her head, for that is even all as one as if she were shaven. For if the woman be not covered, let her also be shorn. But if it be a shame for a woman to be shorn or shaven, let her be covered. For a man indeed ought not to cover his head, for as much as he is the image and glory of God, but the woman is the glory of the man. For the man is not of the woman, but the woman of the man. But neither was the man created for the woman, but the woman for the man.
Verse 10, therefore the woman ought to have a symbol of authority on her head because of angels. However, in the Lord, neither is woman independent of man, nor is man independent of woman. For as the woman originates from the man, so also the man has his birth through the woman. And all things originate from God. Judge for yourselves. Is it proper for a woman to pray to God with head uncovered? Does not even nature itself teach you that if a man has long hair, it's a dishonor to him? But if a woman has long hair, it is It is a glory to her. Question mark. It is a glory to her, for her hair is given to her for a covering. But if one is inclined to be contentious, we have no other practice, nor have the churches of God. Now, if you continue reading through the rest of the chapter, we don't have time to do that, because here's where we're going to stop. He's talking about Christ and the church. Notice the context of man-wife relationship. Where is it? Where is this all being played out? In the context of the church. And he continues to go and begin to instruct them, correct their bad policy of church in their breaking of the bread, their communion service, which was corrupted by their own flesh. Some were getting drunk and some were being gluttonous and others were starving and they were just being selfish. And it was not a good experience. It wasn't healthy. It was so unhealthy, he said, some of you are dying. Spiritually, you're dying because of this. So I'm going to leave it right there. Do you feel like there are bones laying around you? Good. Prophesy. That's what the Holy Spirit is saying to you and I, son of man, daughter of man. When you see bones of truth, ask the Lord to give you a word to speak, to put those bones together. And by his grace, we will. Turn the time over to you, Brother Dave.
Thanks, Brother Phil, for the word there this morning. Encouraged and blessed with all of that. So this brings the close of our service. And so, please feel free to hang around for our noon meal. And so, why don't we just bow our head for a word of prayer and ask the benediction. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much again for your love and your goodness to us. We thank you for your word that we've heard again this morning. Lord, I just pray that we go forth from here, Lord, that we're not the same people. Lord, I just thank you also for the physical food that's been prepared. I just pray you bless it to our bodies. Bless the hand that have prepared it. Lord, and just pray that our time of together this afternoon could be an encouraging and inspiring to one another. Lord, and through all of this, most of all, we want to honor and glorify your name. We just thank you for your blessing. We ask this in your name. Amen.